Microphone first, and it is my pleasure to welcome here today at the Institute our dear colleague Ildikó Bodnár, who came from the Eötvös Loránd University in Budapest, and she is currently a visiting researcher at the Malach Center for Visual History, where I come from. She gladly agreed to participate in the Monday seminars, and just to give her a short introduction, Docent Bodnár is currently an associate professor at the university and one of the co-leaders of the Research Center for Computational Sciences at the university. She has held multiple fellowships, be it from the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, the USC Shoah Foundation, or the ITS at Bad Arolsen, and she's mostly dealing with her research with analysis of anti-Semitism, anti-Ziganism in Hungary, as well as the history of the Holocaust and post-Holocaust in Central Europe. And I will no longer take the time away from her. And Ildikó, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. First of all, it's a great pleasure and honor to be here, and thank you very much for coming. So what I would like to say, it may be turned out, but I'm a sociologist by training. So what I would like to do today is to show you a case study where we used natural language processing for exploring a sociological problem, namely online anti-Semitism in Hungary. So this is my bigger goal for today. My lecture, as I was told, will last approximately 45 minutes, and then I'm very open to any questions from the audience. Under my name, there is another name, Árpád Knop, who is my PhD student and who is also a sociologist and also a survey statistician, as I was also majored from survey statistics back then, a long time ago. And he is a pro in Python, so we work collaboratively on his PhD and the topics which I will talk about today. So just a quick overview. We have a project called the Research of Online Hate Speech. And this is a research project of the Research Center for Computational Social Science. You can see the website there, so you can visit the website and you will see how many kind of topics we are working with. The goal of this particular research was to scrutinize online anti-Semitism, and the first step was to analyze overt online anti-Semitism, so not the subtle forms of anti-Semitism, but open anti-Semitism. The corpora came from kuruc.info, which is a very known far-right news portal in Hungary. I will talk about it later on. And we used two corpuses, two corpora, the articles and the comments from there. I will say more about the corpora. We had three research questions. The was is that what is the latent thematic structure of these two corpora? The second one, whether these topics reflect the different kind of anti-Semitism. I will talk about these different types later on. And the third one is whether there is a difference between the thematic structure of the articles and the comments. So first, I would like to put the whole thing into context by saying some words about anti-Semitism in Hungary. We are in a very fortunate situation that there have been a lot of surveys on anti-Semitism in Hungary, starting from the mid-90s. And in the past 6 years, we have yearly surveys on anti-Semitism commissioned by the Action and Protection Foundation and done by a very good, one of the best polling companies in Hungary, Median. This deep survey, based on nationally representative samples, representative of the population over 18, and it's done with the same, using the same questions and using the same methodology. So we are very fortunate that we can make longitudinal analysis as well. The sample size varies between 1,000 and 1,200, so it's quite a big sample. And we use face-to-face interviews. I don't know until when, because it's getting more and more expensive, but by time being, we are using face-to-face interview. These measurements, what we use is based on the work of Professor András Kovács, who is a very well-known scholar of anti-Semitism in general and Hungarian anti-Semitism in particular. And it's based on the multidimensional perspective of measurement, meaning that we are not just asking certain questions about anti-Semitism, but we try to differentiate between different dimensions of anti-Semitism, namely emotional anti-Semitism. For example, I hate Jews, this is a kind of emotional dimension. And also we make measurements about the content of anti-Semitism using stereotypes to and ask people how much they agree with these statements. Using, excuse me, using mostly Likert scales, 5-point Likert scales. There is another component which I don't talk about it now. This is the cognitive component, is how much a person is ready to discriminate upon his or her prejudices. So let's see some data first. This is the agreement with the statement, the Jews are empathetic. And you can see that approximately 25% of the Hungarian population agreed with these statements in 2017. And the only thing which I would like to point out is this big shift between 2009 and 2010, which will be very important for us. This is the time when Jobbik, the far-right party, got into parliament and gained much bigger popularity than it had before. So this is a big shift in anti-Semitism. We could see it. That was the time when open anti-Semitism became part of parliamentary talks and so on. So it really had a great impact. On the cognitive component, we differentiate between the different types of anti-Semitism. I listed here four. Religious anti-Judaism, which is mostly based on perception, on the thought that Jews killed Jesus Christ, and other these kind of allegations. Conspiratory anti-Semitism, which is quite widespread in this region of ours, saying that the Jews rule the world, the Jews rule the media, and so on. Secondary anti-Semitism, which is Holocaust denial. According to Deborah Lipstadt, we are differentiating between hardcore and softcore denial. Hardcore denial meaning that the person says that the Holocaust did not happen at all. The soft core denial meaning that the person says that the number of victims were less than it was said. The things didn't happen the way it is said. And the fourth is new anti-Semitism. This is the anti-Semitism disguised as anti-Zionism. However, it is very important and not very easy task to differentiate between this kind of new anti-Semitism and the legitimate criticism of Israel. And we are using most of the time Sharansky's 3D test, meaning that if these statements are demonizing Israel, using a double standard, so pointing out to Israel for things they don't do for other countries, and delegitimize Israel, saying that Israel doesn't have a right to exist, then it fulfill new anti-Semitism. So let's see some of the data quickly about the state of anti-Semitism in Hungary. First, religious anti-Semitism, and I brought you the data from 2011 to 2017, and you can see the changes in anti-Semitism, and you will see that in most of the cases there was a little or in sometimes not so little increase in the level of anti-Semitism. So in the case of religious anti-Semitism, we used two statements. The suffering of the Jews were God's punishment, and the other one, the crucifixion of Jesus, is the unpardonable sin of the Jews. And you can see that in the first case in 2017, 20% of the population agreed or fully agreed, meaning that they gave 4 or 5 on the 5-point Likert scale, and 31% said that the crucifixion of Jesus is the unpardonable sin of the Jews. The second one is conspiratorial anti-Semitism. We used three statements: intellectuals of Jewish origin keep media and culture under their influence. There is a secret Jewish conspiracy that determines political and economic processes, and Jewish influence is too large in Hungary today. This is very important, these statements, because they will come back when analyzing the corpora with NLP. So this is also a reason why I'm showing to you this. You can see that the exception is higher. Actually, this is the highest among the different types. So this is the most important and most prevalent type of anti-Semitism in Hungary. And you can see that it's above one third of the population says that they agree with these statements. Then comes secondary anti-Semitism. The first statement is it is a hardcore denial of the Holocaust, so there weren't any gas chambers in the concentration camps. Here there was only two possible answers, rather agree or rather disagree. So 8% said that they rather agree with the statement. The second one, the large part of the horrors were invented by the Jews after the event. And the third one, the number of Jewish victims were far less than it is usually claimed. And 22%, so little more than one-fifth of the Hungarian population, rather agree with this statement. It is also important to say that in these statements, we see a higher level of no answers, especially in the last one. I really have a suspicion that this is a kind of latent anti-Semitism. So if someone cannot say bluntly what they think about these statements, we have the suspicion that they are latent anti-Semites, which latency will be very important later on. The fourth new anti-Semitism. So we had only one question regarding to that, so one statement: Israel is an aggressor and commits genocide against the Palestinians. And we have very confusing results. So although in 2017 quite a lot of people agreed with that, but we had two other statements: that Israel carries out legitimate self-defense against the attacks against it, 33% agrees or fully agrees. And seeing the increasingly more brutal terror attacks, I'm more sympathetic towards Israel than before, also 33%. The problem is why I say it's a confusing result, is because also those who say that Israel is an aggressor and commit genocide against the Palestinian, some of them, and not very few of them, thinks the same as that said, legitimate, and they are more sympathetic towards Israel than before. So it seems that this is not a clear-cut issue, and it will also come back later on when we see the results from the NLP model. Now, moving toward another part of the context is about Jobbik and the Our Homeland movement. So Jobbik, the Movement for a Better Hungary, is a political party. It was founded in 2003. became a major political actor in 2009. It was quite hard for them to gain popularity in the beginning of their the operation. They were mostly banned by media outlets, and it was very hard for them to spread their message. However, we will see that they used very well online media to do so. So in 2010, Jobbi gained 17% on the parliament elections, and on the next election in 2014, they gained 20% of the votes. And in 2014, before the election, Jobbi started to shift their image very similarly to that of which we could see in Front National in France, that it was called a cutie campaign. So they were photographed with puppies and saying less harsh things. Almost eliminated open anti-Semitism, at least on the country level. Leaders level. They were still anti-Semitic on the local level, but in the parliament and in TV interviews and so on, they didn't say that anymore. Because of that, and because of they failed on the 2018 elections, they lost a lot of votes. Some radical ex-Jobbik politicians left the party, and they formed a new movement, the Our Homeland Movement. Now it seems that they cannot be really successful. It is partly because Fidesz took over all the topics which they did before. So let's see a little bit about the party preferences and anti-Semitism. So combining all these statements, we have a composite measure of anti-Semitism. And in 2017, you could see that 27% of the population could be characterized as extremely anti-Semitic, and 10% as moderately anti-Semitic. While in the case of Jobbik voters, the respective results are 42% and 15%. So you can see that there are much more people who harbor anti-Semitic feelings and prejudices in the case of Jobbik. Now let's move a little bit about to the corpora and talk. And I would like to talk a little bit about the news porter. So the Jobbik used this portal very much. Although they always said that they have no direct connection to the news portal, everybody knew they had. And this was a news portal which was online from 2006. And in the region, it was the most popular and very well read news portal. At the peak of its popularity, they had about 100,000 per day, reads per day. So it was really a huge thing. Actually, it was banned by Facebook, so you cannot find them on Facebook. And just a fun fact: when I use Messenger quite a lot, and when I write to somebody, I cannot write that I'm making a research on Kurds in force, anything like that, because they ban me, so it cannot be sent. So I have to put extra characters in, so then the algorithm of Facebook doesn't know what I'm talking about. As I said, Kurds.info played a very important role in popularizing Jobbik, and unfortunately, I can say they used this tool very, very well. You can see that there are columns like anti-Hungarism, Holo Hoax, Gypsy Crime, Jewish crime. So you can see that this, what this portal is really about. So there is no doubt that they are very, very extremist, prejudiced, and all the other things which can be said about them. In 2018 still, this was the 10th largest news portal. 10% of the population in that year and 23% of Jobbik voters was still visiting the portal occasionally. So it's quite a lot of people. So let's talk about the corpus. So we had mainly two corpora, articles and comments from Corus.info. We scraped them so one after another, not together. And the time frame was from March 2016 to March 2019. It may raise the question why this 3 year. It is because we use the Sentibon, this is a web-based social listening and test analytics platform. We used it mostly for the scraping. And there is 3 years they can do before a certain time point, so that's why we had this 3 years of the articles and the comments. We were thinking a lot what kind of search words we should use, but finally we came to a conclusion that we will use only Jew and any form of Jew, so Jewish and so on. And it is because we had two assumptions which proved to be true. Is that the first one is that the author of Corus Info don't have the intention to hide their feelings, and the other one that the word Jew appears in a negative context. The only exception I can say after seeing the results is that when they are quoting long biblical texts, and sometimes it's really not anti-Semitic, they are just quoting the Bible, and then it has some, but we had different separate topics for these ones. The size of the analyzed corpus in the case of the articles, it's a little less than 2,300 articles. In the case of the comments, it's more than 51,000, so that's what we had in our analysis.
Clarification?
Yep.
So, you retrieve the articles for the word Jew?
Yeah, exactly.
And you took all the comments, or you also searched the comments separately from the articles?
No, we scraped separately the articles and the comments, and in both cases we used the word Jew. Okay?
Could you link the two together?
Yes, we can link them together. We haven't done that yet, but we can do that. Yeah, if it's just this kind of short clarification, I'm very happy to answer in between. If you have bigger questions, then I would suggest to do it afterwards. But thank you for the clarification. So the next thing is the challenges of NLP in Hungarian. I see smiling faces, so I think you have kind of some similar problems as well. So we have a lot of problems, I can say. First of all, NLP is not as advanced in Hungarian as in English, so we have a lot of English tools and so on. And it's not only because it started not so long time ago in Hungary, because it's partly not true. But the most important thing is that this is a kind of language where NLP works very hardly, so it's hard to solve a lot of problems. So the first one is that this is an agglutinative language, so we have all the kind of affixes, prefixes, suffixes, circumfixes, which can also change the meaning and the whole grammatical function of the word. We have the problem that the inflectional forms can change the word root as well. So it's also not very easy. There is a lot of different words can come from the same root, and we have altogether less advanced tools and software than in English. So when we done we used Python to do all the pre-processing, and it needed a lot of manual cleaning as well. So we had problems. I will talk about it a little bit later. So we made a pre-processing pipeline, which I would like to just talk some things about. So first we deleted the URLs, of course. Then we made the lemmatization, and you may think from the previous slide that it's also not that easy in Hungarian. Then we had huge problems with the name identity recognition. There were the Hungarian one using Wikipedia, and it made horrible changes. So I just tell you one example. All Germany was changed for the Third Reich. So we didn't understand why the Third Reich appears so many times, so too many times. Okay, the topic has something to do with it, but it was overwhelming. So then we realized that it makes some very, very horrible changes. So we had to do lists to change them back or put it as an exception, say it doesn't do that. We were identifying significant BN trigrams. We did the identifying significant trigrams with doing the bigrams twice. So that's what we used. We defined quite a lot of stop words. We defined a replicate list, as I told. And also we were filtering out some of based on length and frequency. For example, we filtered out the very, very frequent and the very those words which are almost not existing. And also what we did, that for example in the case of the comments, there could be very, very short comments, so we excluded those which were very, very short. So for the topic model, we used the latent Dirichlet allocation, the LDA. Although we had some problems with that, which is well known from the literature, we decided to use this because, for example, one was the visualization, which is quite good, and from LDA, we use the mallet type. So the aim of LDA is to identify the hidden and latent thematic structure of a given corpus by creating the topics, as you, I'm sure, know. And the LDA detects these co-occurrences of words, and then the concept is that the certain topic can be characterized by different words. However, I have to stress that it's not enough to look at the words only. So you really have to dig deep. So this is a mixed method approach in a way that we did the topic modeling, but then we had to go to the topics and read the articles, read some of the articles to see what it's really about. So I really think that in sociology, we need this extra. You cannot just look at the most frequent words and say what the topic is about. We extracted 15 topics, both in the case of the articles and the comments, and this was based on the coherence measure and the interpretability. We combined the two, and what we did actually, we ran the models from 7 to 17 topics, 10 times each. And then we had the average coherence score. So we had the coherence score for all the 10 run. And then we have the mean and the standard deviance. Okay. So here you can see, of course, the greener the better, the more red is the verse. So you can see that in the case of 15 topics, the average is 0.49, and the standard deviation is quite low. And also, as I said, the interpretability was also an important factor. So that's why we extracted 15 topics for each. So let's talk a little bit about now the thematic structure, so what we actually got. And now I would like to put it into the frame of the different types of anti-Semitism. We have a paper published, and it can be found on our website. So if you are interested in the topics and what kind of words were most characteristic of these different topics and so on, then you are welcome to see that, and you can see that there. But now I'm concentrating on the different topics, as one of the research questions of ours was that whether these different types of anti-Semitism can be detected in the topics. So the first one, religious anti-Judaism, it had a very low prevalence in both cases. We know that the prevalence of religious anti-Judaism is not so high, so it's really aligned with our other results. And what was very interesting, that the classical blame of deicide was completely missing. It was a little surprising. The articles and the comments had a different approach. So in the articles, it was more than the Jews strive to contaminate the Christians. In the comments, it was more the superiority of Christianity, so that they are superior to the Jews, and what is the reason for that. And it was also based with biblical and other kind of texts. I put some quotes from the articles and the comments. So I also put it into context. So the high proportion of Jewish participation in the adult entertainment industry, it was a constant blame, is the result of Jews' ancient hatred toward the Christian order. Or, and this is a full quote, it is Talmudic perversion how these Jews manipulate the inherent goodness and morality of the white man to disrupt their own culture. Of course, it's also mixed with racial anti-Semitism. So that's the other thing which is important. It will come back later on, that these types are not distinct. So there are a lot of mixture between them. The second type is racial anti-Semitism. It was very important because in the survey there's a quite large so-called latency pressure on the respondents, meaning that in the case of anti-Semitism, which is not really comme il faut after Auschwitz, as they say, or as we say, so it's not really comme il faut. So a lot of respondents think that it's not really advisable to say what I really think. So there is a very, very high latency pressure. And especially would be very high in the case of racial anti-Semitism. So to say that Jews have a distinct racial character is really not which is expected by the norm. So we don't really be able to grasp racial anti-Semitism using surveys. And that's why it was very important hit for us that in the case of the articles, there was a very high prevalence of racial anti-Semitism. In the case of comments, there was also almost missing. So this was a big difference between the two. So what kind of things you have to think about it when it comes to racial anti-Semitism? So demanding that all public officials and personalities who are Hungarian citizens and are of Jewish racial origin should declare which bond is stronger for them, the Hungarian or the Jewish? It always comes up. Also, it's important to know that Jobbik had had a proposal in the parliament before their QT campaign that all officials should declare their dual citizenships because Israeli citizenship pose a nationality risk on Hungary. The other quote is a full quote. So they, the Jews, are provoking Hungarians with their actions to protect their own Jewish race. Or it always comes up, the media is ruled by the Jews and films are made, and Jews are making these things to spread homosexuality, to promote the mixing of races, and to propagate anti-Vi stereotypes. So it's always come back that these homosexuality things, the whole pride is done by the Jews and it's based on Jewish money and so on. The next one, conspiratorial anti-Semitism. In the case of the article, it is a low prevalence and mostly connected to racial anti-Semitism. In the case of the comments, which we can interpret as a voice, vox populi, I would say, of these people, of course, among these people, was a very, very high prevalence, and it's really occurred in itself, so not mixing with anything, just purely conspiratorial anti-Semitism. Of course, the very common things that Jews are ruling the media, the world, and especially they are using their money to do so. Then a full quote, the minds of the majority is in the hands of Jews. Jews are controlling them and telling them what is good and what is wrong. Again, a full quote, the normalization of the pervert and harmful is the usual tool of Jewish activism, let it be in politics or in the media. It can have also a thought. It's really a hypothesis up till now that, you know, this whole civil society was condemned by using Soros money, and that's George Soros is behind everything. And it's well known in Hungary that he is of Jewish origin, of course, and he's also Hungarian origin. And the third thing I would like to tell you, which is really, I knew about that, that the gypsies and the migrants are portrayed as a biological weapon of the Jews. So they are using these to, in the case, kill the white people and to rule the world. The last one is, before the last one, the secondary anti-Semitism. It was very high, it was higher prevalence in the case of articles. Both the softcore and the hardcore denial appeared. There was a lot of this kind of pseudo-scientific argumentation. It is very common that when they use kind of things which looks very scientific, they have no basis whatsoever. There were a lot of this alleged or quotation mark, alleged Holocaust, alleged gas chambers. In the articles, there was this holo hoax, holo dogmatics, holo legends, so all these words which they invented. And you may remember that on Corus Info in the columns, there was one of the holo hoax, so they used quite a lot. Jews are making profit, so they are making money of the Holocaust. They are using it for these purposes also. And what was very important, and is because you can see in the literature that is in Eastern Europe, especially in Hungary and Poland, this is connected to a kind of a competitive victimhood, meaning that we Hungarians suffered as much as the Jews. Why Jews are talking so much about the Holocaust and they are not talking about our tragedies and so on. When the film The Son of Saul won, there was a full of articles that why don't they make a film about Trianon and so on? So it comes back. And here is quotation, radio and television stations report on events connected to the Holocaust almost every day. Why no one talks about the Holocaust, of Hungarians? So it really came out very openly. And the last type, the new anti-Semitism, you may remember that I told you that in the survey it was very blurry, so it was not a clear-cut thing. And we found the same thing here. It was a low prevalence. A lot of times it was not openly anti-Semitic, I have to say, although these were very, very one-sided. So I would say that many of the articles and comments would meet the criteria of the 3D. Would fail the 3D test. However, it was really blurry, and a lot of times they were just using quotation marks like the peacemaker, Avigdor Lieberman as the defense minister, and these kind of things. I would like to say just a few words about the peculiarities in this thematic structure. So in Eastern Europe, it is very common in these circles that the Jews are responsible for communism, and it came up in our corpora as well. And also a lot of times they used the German type names of the different politicians or communist politicians, for example, from the 50s, that they put into brackets their German sounding or Jewish sounding German names. In the articles, they used very much this homo propagandist, deviance propagandist to contaminate the whites and the Christians. And Jews are also embittered the struggle against anti-Semitism. A lot of times it was described as weeping or screaming of the Jews. In the case of the comments, there was a lot of anxiety over the extermination of white people by the Jews, and they are using the migrants, the gypsies, the gender ideology or feminism for doing so. There was a lot of presence of gypsies in the case of the comments, which we didn't see in the case of the articles. And it was very interesting to see that the LDA differentiated one topic, which was swearing. So it's nothing in the case of the comments. It was nothing, just swearing, when they really put everything there. So we could really differentiate it, this part of the corpus there. So ending with the conclusions. So topic modeling proved to be a very important and good tool for us. It was a very powerful part of our research, and it could really complement our results from, for example, surveys and what we knew already. The topics were meaningful, both in the case of the articles and the comments, and it was interesting to see that in many dimensions, the thematic structure of the two corpora was different. However, the classical type of anti-Semitism, types of anti-Semitism could be detected. However, not in this, of course, not in a clear form, but mixed types, what we found. We really found, as I talked about it, a little bit about it, that the sociological domain knowledge is needed to really be able to interpret the results, and we needed to use also the qualitative way of looking at our corpora after having extracted the topics. So we have some future plans. We also would like to work with subtle anti-Semitism. Of course, it's not very easy, as not as easy as in the case of this corpora when we use only the search word Jew. And we are also would like to make research on other forms of online hate speech. In the case of Hungary, it's of course anti-Ciganism and also the anti-migrants, anti-migrant discourses, which is unfortunately very prevalent in Hungary nowadays. We are also moving to another direction concerning the methodology. So we would like to use also supervised methods. I'm almost sure that we will need that for the subtle forms of anti-Semitism, and also moving to other types of methods like word embedding. I thank you very much for your attention, and here is our website, so you are very welcome to visit that. Thank you, and I'm open to questions.